be verse 5 and following. Many of us have probably read this verses of Proverbs before. We're going to look at some interesting things this morning. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Father, for having your preserved, inspired, Father, infallible word in the authorized version, 1611 King James Bible. We praise you for that. Father, I just pray now that you'd remove me out of the way and fill me with thy Holy Spirit, Father, to allow people to hear what you have to say today, Father. I just pray for the saints of God to be here today, that they'd be edified. We pray for lost souls, that they would be saved. Father, we just pray, as you promised, that your word would go out this morning and not return void. Father, we'll remember to give you all the honor and all the glory for whatever you'll choose to do this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. All righty, kindly be seated. You know, one thing about this time of year, you notice that many people are graduating. Went to a graduation last week, graduating high school and college and all different kinds of, you know, technical schools and whatever we may. But this is a time of early June, especially, is a time that we reflect upon the graduations. We go to many graduations. A lot of we see many of our Christian young people of leaving the safe cocoons of their high school, their family and their friends, and other Christian colleges to go out into the wicked world. Now, the Bible has some rules. You know, what advice can we give these people? What can we tell our young people this morning? What can we say to help them out? The Bible has some rules to go by this morning for these young people to follow, these young Christian people to follow, and also for us to follow as adult Christians, hopefully mature Christians. What we want to look at this morning in the first section, in verses 5 and 6, we see that the son is given three rules to go by if he desires for God to direct his path. So the advice God wants to give all of us this morning, if we want to allow him to direct our paths, is trust in the Lord with all thine heart, number one. Lean not unto thine own understanding, number two. And in all thy ways acknowledge him. So those are three things for us to look at if we desire for God to direct our paths. Now, the second set of rules, there are four rules to abide by. These are rules to abide by. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear not the Lord, depart from evil, and honor the Lord with thy substance. Now, these are rules for us to abide by. Now, as a result of those rules that we just read, the reward for keeping the second set of instructions is, number one, it shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones, thy barns shall be filled, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So what we see then, the first set of rules have to do, or instructions have to do, are spiritual in nature. God's guiding and leading the wise man into all truth and righteousness, and the perfect will of God for his life. So that's what the first set of rules, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways to acknowledge him. These are spiritual instructions for God to lead the man, to lead the woman into all truths and righteousness, and to know the perfect will of God. Now the second set is plainly practical. It is for gaining of material blessings and prosperity. So number one this morning, we want to look at rules to go by if you desire to God to direct your paths. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Four words. Trust in the Lord. Trust. Trust who? You. You trust in the Lord. That's what it's saying. Trust in the Lord. You trust in the Lord. Now, it's a heartfelt confidence. What kind of trust are we talking about? It's a heartfelt confidence that relies and leans on the Lord and counts him faithful. In other words, who hath promised? It is a heartfelt confidence that believes the Lord when he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's a heartfelt confidence that boldly says, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It's a heartfelt confidence that has learned it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. It's a special kind of trust. It's a heartfelt trust. Do you realize today folks are more quickly to place their faith and trust in men before they will God? How many of us have bought the Brooklyn Bridge more than once? I have. You know, someone will come up to you and say, hey, for this thing here, you're going to have this for this amount of money. It's too good to be true. It really is. It's not true. But how we've ripped off, you know, because we're so trusting in man. We're so trusting in these schemes that man has, you know, the get-rich-quick schemes. You know, there's people all over America that are getting ripped off from different con artists. It's because man is quicker to put his trust in man and other man than he is in God. You know, we look at, there's a lot of child molestation going around. You know, there's a lot of kids, you know, you have the routine where someone comes by in a car and says, you know, I remember when I was a kid, there was a strange man driving around a car giving out Rolo bars, and if you'd get in the car with him, you know. But it's amazing how kids are so trusting today, and I think in some ways we instill that as parents. You know, we instill to trust in man and not in God. And we see, unfortunately, a lot of these little kids, you know, hey, you know, I'm going to take you to the puppet show, and they get right into the, you know, kids love puppets and they love little puppies, and they get in the car because they're trusting man and not taught to trust God. You know, a prime example with Christians is that they would rather place their so-called trust in Bible scholars who attack the authorized version 1611 King James Bible. You know, they'd rather trust them to tell them what the Bible says instead of placing their trust in the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit of God. If you're a born-again Christian, if you're a Christian, you're born again, you're saved, you have the author of the Bible that dwells inside you. But boy, how we can't, you know, I can't, you know, you hear it all over and over, I can't understand the King James Bible. I know you can't. I can't either, but the Holy Spirit of God can, and he's the one that wrote the Bible. But boy, we want to go and believe all these so-called Bible scholars that say, well, you need to listen to me, and, you know, unfortunately there are incorrect translations and so forth and so on. We're quicker to do that than allow God to get with God, to be in prayer, and then get with the Bible and get with God and say, teach me, Holy Spirit. Teach me. Show me what these words say. Hey, you're not going to get it at the first crack, but if you keep reading it and asking for the Lord to teach you, the Holy Spirit of God to teach you, he's going to show you what it means. So we see that we're to trust in the Lord. We're to trust in the Lord. We put our trust in the Lord and not in man. Okay, what about that trust? Is it just some wishy-washy kind of trust? You know, is it we trust in our head? No, it's to trust with all thine heart. We're to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, it's not easy for us to do that, to trust with the Lord with all thine heart, especially when we're going through difficult times. But there was a bunch of folks that did. There was a bunch of folks that did. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, we see a list of God's champions in there. God's the roll call of God's champions. It says in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 36, and others, talking about people that went through stuff, it said, others had trials of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and coatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts, and in the mountains, and in the dens, and the caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. So here we see these people that went through all these different things. I mean, when's the last time you were scourged? I've never been scourged. No one's ever beat me with, you know. I've never been torn asunder. I've never been stoned and left on the road for dead. But these people went through all of that. And they trust with the Lord with all their heart. How about the Apostle Paul? It can be done. How about the Apostle Paul? You know, in 2 Corinthians, you know, when you start getting when you start throwing your pity party, and you say, why should I trust in the Lord? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20, talks about a lot of things what Paul went through. You know, when you start feeling sorry for yourself, go to that chapter. See, Paul was like you and I. He was a flesh and blood. He was an ordinary man. He wasn't any super duper, you know, superhuman person. He bled. His blood was the same color as yours and mine, red. He got upset stomachs. He had ulcers and he had all the internal organs that we had, and he didn't have modern medicine like we had either. But in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 20, it begins, "For ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, and deaths oft." So he was near death many times. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day have I been in the deep." When's the last time you were in the deep? You spend a night and day in the water. I haven't. "In journeys often, in the perils of water, in the perils of robbery, in the perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." But he goes on and he says, "I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities." So it can be done. Paul stayed true to the Lord. He didn't give up. And he certainly went through a lot more things than you and I will ever go through. So rule number one, if you desire the God to direct your paths, is to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. See, it's only going to work if you not only trust in the Lord, but with all thine heart. If you don't have that kind of trust for the Lord, it's not going to work. Then rule number two, lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, this is a commandment that's nearly impossible for every educated man to deal with. There's little record of any great educator, psychologist, or scientist who ever did anything but lean on his own understanding. See, this is what the so-called institutions of higher learning is teaching, is to lean on your own understanding. For example, to lean on the understanding of Darwin. They don't want to lean on the creation, Genesis chapter 1. God created it, all of it, created you and I. You know, they'd rather have you to lean on the understanding of Darwin's theory of evolution. And that's all it is. It's a theory. Remember, it's a theory. We have God's word on it that he created the heavens and the earth. He created you and I and all the animals. I'd rather lean on God's understanding, and God says, I came from Adam, not an ape. You want to believe someone out there, you want to be as stupid to believe that you came from an ape, go ahead. You probably look like one too. But I came from Adam, that's what the Bible tells me. I want to lean on the understanding of God, not on the quote-unquote, the educated crowd. You know, they have, how did the earth come into existence? The Great Bang, all of a sudden there was a big boom and it happened. People would rather believe that than they'd want to read God's word and believe it. Here it is in the Bible. They'd rather read something full. There was a big bang, boom, and then it existed. You know, if you look, the Bible says God does everything decent and in order. If you look at the creation, And you just see how much order there is in there. Just look at us as human beings, how we function, all our internal organs. You know, we have lungs to breathe and all, you know, and all these different organs. You know, the kidneys to take care of the impurities in the waste materials and so forth and so on. God did that. We're decent and in order. So everything could work. It's amazing how any of us work. I mean, you get 50 feet of intestine in you. It's just amazing. I don't know, millions and billions of cells. It's incredible. But God did that. But no, people want to lean onto their own understanding. They want to pay a college professor. Can you imagine taking your kid and sending them to college? And it's very expensive. Some places $20 a year to have garbage like that drummed into their head. You must be foolish. You must be foolish. You know, even, we're just talking about secular schools in general, even Christian colleges consist of men, again, leaning on their own understanding. You take a person, a young person that was brought up in the local church, that the King James Bible, okay, is God's preserved, infallible, inspired word of God. You send them to Christian college, and they're the head of the Bible department there just drums that right. What are you, crazy? Yeah, he preserved his word, but it's not perfect. See, men are leaning, even in the realms of fundamentalists, are leaning onto their own understanding. So what they can do away is get rid of the final authority and make themselves a final authority. You know, they sit in judgment on the word of God. See, secular education is simply teaching the student how to rely on his own understanding. You know, what they get the child in there, they brainwash him, they demoralize him, they convert him to a social agnostic by their professors. They come out and they worship, oh, Professor Smith said this and this. I remember I was there before I got saved. I went to college. I understand it all. You know, you held up your professors, oh, they're so great, they're so marvelous, you should have heard the things I learned today. Did you ever notice some of our young people after they've gone to school, after you send them from the nest? They look different. They talk different. They think different. You can't even sit down and have a conversation with them anymore. And this is after one semester. You know, they come back and they get the 12 earrings in each ear. Some of them get a ring in their nose. It's amazing. And you're paying for it. That's the sad part. The parent is paying big bucks for this reprogramming. You know, the more educated someone is, quite honestly, the harder it is for them to get saved. You know, they have the attitude that they have all the answers. Everything that happens is explainable. They don't have any faith. They don't have any, everything can be measured that happens. They don't have any faith. They have no faith in God because their mind is their own God. It's sad. People leaning to their own understanding. You know, they'll call you, well, you know, you Christians are stupid. That's what they'll tell us. You know, that you put your faith and trust on this book and on some God that you've never seen. Some God that I've never seen. No, I haven't seen yet. I haven't placed my hands in the wounds of my Savior in his side. But I've seen how he took me off of prescription medication and set me free. That's how God worked in my life. And he's worked in and he's given me a home in heaven. I was on my way to hell. I have joy and peace that I never had before. I used to be worried about where I was going to go when I died. The religion I was brought up to said, well, worry about it when it happens, and when you're down there, we'll pray you out anyways. As long as your family, you know, has a mass set every once in a while for you. I know where I'm going. Heaven is my home based upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ shed blood. This morning, if you're at home, if you're watching, and you're trusting in anything else but Jesus Christ shed blood, his finished work at Calvary, then you're on your way to hell. Lean not unto thine own understanding this morning, folks. Now, the last rule that we want to look at, if you want the Lord to direct your paths, is in all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. You know, give God the glory. We sang this morning, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. You never know about it with some of us Christians. Well, I did this, and I did that. You know, that personal I pronoun. In all thy ways acknowledge him. This means full recognition of God's hand in leading in all phases of life, all aspects of success, joy, sorrow, adversity, opposition, blessing, bereavement, and attainment. The Lord God is to be acknowledged in the dining room, the bedroom, the living room, the bathroom, the carport, the automobile, the factory, the office, the barracks, the shower room, the classroom, the bridal chamber, the fields, the highway, the motels, and the restaurants. And where he cannot be acknowledged openly and immediately, the Christian has no place going. He has to be consulted about matters of dating, study, marriage, separation, divorce, homemaking, buying, selling, building, planting, working, retiring, saving, and religion. Philippians brings this out very well this morning in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Everything is to, you should go to God with. There's nothing small or big. You should come to him with your request, look for his guidance, look in the word for his guidance, come to him in prayer and supplication. Don't let the devil fool you and said, "I don't have to pray to God about this. He doesn't have to be in on this." That's just the devil, because he wants you to blow it. You know, where any man, church, religion, sacrament, teaching, or tradition, or authority takes precedence over him, over the Lord, it is to be ignored or removed. You know, the Bible tells us in Colossians this morning, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 18, he, referring to Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Also over in Colossians it says, chapter 1, in the verses before that, and studying verse 1, chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 12, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." The Christian who really believes what we just read does not hesitate to consult the Lord in prayer, constantly on every phase of life, instantly, at every occasion. If you believe that, if he created everything, he is the head of the church, the head of the body, he should have preeminence over everything. If you believe that, that you're going to consult him on everything in your life. Consequently, he obtains answers to problems and peace of mind, which the vast majority of Christians know nothing about and fight all their lives to obtain. See, these are simple things. That's why, you know, if you're a Christian today and you're still struggling with things, you don't need to be struggling with things, because you're not doing what it says, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, to lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct their paths. You know, what happens is, with prayer, most Christians, talks about it in James chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enemy of God." See, the problem with most Christians today is they use a prayer as like a, you know, a give me list. You know, I want this and I want that and da-da-do-do-do-do. And if things don't work out, they turn their back on God. See, people Christians who don't acknowledge God, or lean onto their own understanding, or just as the woman, as we remember her in Mark chapter 5, who had the issue of blood. She consulted many physicians, never went to the Lord, never went to God. But as a result of doing that, she drained her pocketbook. It said that she consulted many physicians instead of the Lord. As a result, her pocketbook was drained and her condition even got worse. So we see then, as a result of following the rules of trusting the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, the result of that is he will direct thy paths. David put it this way, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. David even put it stronger when he said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. You see, he shall direct thy path is plainly conditioned on forsaking your own humanistic, reasonable, rational understanding in many situations. You know, Paul, we remember Paul the Apostle. He was a Pharisee before he got saved. He was an educated lawyer who got saved, and he gave us this advice. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, he tells us about preaching. He said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." In other words, Paul says, you know, he had the educational background. He could have talked with these big words and these big $10 words, but he could have used the enticing words of man's wisdom, but he didn't. He went to the Lord and he allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through him. He worked in the Spirit and not in the flesh. In fact, Paul put it pretty bluntly about his fancy degrees in education. Paul put it pretty bluntly over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 3, he says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he may trust in the flesh, I more." In other words, Paul says, you know, if some guy thinks he's a big deal because of his education, I'm even a bigger deal. You know, I could match him because he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Okay, so he was a circumcised Jew. He obeyed the covenant of Abraham. Of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So he was a lawyer. He was a Pharisee. Now he says, concerning zeal and persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. So he went around persecuting the church of God. You know, he was a very religious, educated man. But now he says in verse 7, listen to this, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." But what those things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for me. He had this education. He was a lawyer. He was a religious person. But that gain, that worldly gain, was nothing, because he was lost without Christ. And then he finishes it up. "Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." All that religious, all that education, all those degrees, he counted but dung. I won't explain what dung means. I think we all know what dung is. D-U-N-G, look it up, dung. That's what he counted all that stuff as, dung. There's plenty of it in the horse stables, let's put it that way. Dung. Now we've looked at the rules to go by if you desire God to direct your paths. Number two, we want to look at the rules to abide by and the rewards as if we do. Rule number one says, rules to abide by now. We looked at the rules if we wanted God to direct our path. Now we want rules to abide by. Rules to abide by. Number one, in verse 7 it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Be not wise in their own eyes. This is a universal teaching of the Bible found in either testament, meaning a person to be conceited. A conceited person is having a high opinion of oneself. Romans 12, verse 16 tells us, be of the same mind, one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Now, what we have, a lot of times what we have in the church, the reason we have trouble is, in local New Testament churches, is we have individual members get infected with the personal I pronoun syndrome, you know? I did this and I did that. I knew what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Don't tell me, Pastor. You know, I don't want to hear that. You know, in other words, they're too wise in their own sight. When their pastor comes to them with some instructions out of love and admonishment, you know, and they don't want to hear it because they're wise in their own eyes, in their own conceit. You know, they won't allow the pastor to do his job sometimes. And in Galatians 6:3 it says, getting to the heart of the thing, it says, for a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. For a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So, you know, when we get on our high horses as Christians, and we all do from time to time, you know, we get pretty good, you know. I'm pretty decent Christian. I'm pretty righteous, you know, in God's eyes. I'm really something. You know, we see it all around. We see it within in the pulpits, and we see these great ministries that are going on. Well, the Bible tells us if you think you're something, you're really nothing, and you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. The only people God uses are those who know they are nothing in His sight. That's the people that God uses. People who are humble and faithful. Now, God is more interested in your availability as to your ability. He doesn't care what talents you have. He wants to see if you're available and you'll be faithful with what He's given you to do. We have such men as Nietzsche, who was a philosopher, and Russell, and Dewey, and men of these companies that are not to be taken seriously by a man of God who is trusting in the Lord. Now, these people may be all right to, they're just lightweights when it comes to God. They may be all right to read when you've got nothing else to do, better to do. No wise man, no man should take a man seriously who thinks that his plan of salvation, church, teaching, traditional upbringing, knowledge of religion, philosophy, or outlook on life is superior to the Bible. Proverbs 26:12 is something to say to this type of man. It says, seeth thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. So there's more hope for a fool than a man that's conceited. What's the Bible telling us about conceit? It's pretty heavy duty, isn't it? A fool is better than some. There's more hope for a fool than for someone that's conceited. That's like trying to figure out what's worse, an idiot, a moron, or an imbecile. You know, what's the difference between the three? But it's something. If you're conceited, you're looking at, you know, you're wise in your own eyes. Well, you're fooling yourself. That's why people are going to hell each and every day, every second of the day, because they're wise in their own eyes. I know how to get to heaven. I know how to get to heaven. You'd be a good person. I go to church, get baptized, and I get a baptismal certificate. So rule number one to abide by is be not wise in their own eyes. Rule number two is fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is just that, a fear of the Lord, not reverential trust. The word means, Paul the Apostle uses the word fear of the Lord, meaning to terrify or to scare. And Paul refers to this as trembling in Philippians 2:12, Ephesians 6:5, and 1 Corinthians 2:3. And that, in those three places, Paul refers to this fear as trembling. We want to look at a definition of fear of the Lord. This definition is given to us in Exodus chapter 20. So if you turn to Exodus chapter 20, and you may want to highlight this and put in the margins, this is the definition of fear of the Lord. Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 and following, it says, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. This is the fear of the Lord. Notice, no godly reverence in this passage. The people are just scared out of their wits. That's what it is. They're scared out of their wits. You see, the problem with man today is there's no fear of God. You know, in other words, today man fears man. And we know the Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. Men who don't tremble and quake before God tremble and quake before men. We see Herod, example of Herod and Felix and Agrippa when dealing with the Apostle Paul. And we saw Pilate when he was dealing with Jesus. He was afraid of the men. Friend of man. That's why he found no fault in Jesus, though he let Jesus go and be crucified. Because he was fear of the crowd, a fear of man. He quaked not before and trembled before God, but before man. You know, sometimes the reason you and I don't witness or give out a gospel tract is because we fear and tremble and quake because we fear man. See, the reason our society is out of control is not the fear of God. There's no fear of God today. There's no retribution from God. You know, years ago, if you think about it, even the unsaved man was afraid of God. They kept him from doing things because they knew that there was going to be a reaction from God because of that person's actions. So rule number two to abide by is the fear of the Lord. Number three is to depart from evil. To depart from evil. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:6, by the fear of the Lord, men depart evil. So we see then one of the byproducts, one of the nice byproducts of fearing God, being scared out of your wits of God, is it'll help you depart. You'll be depart from evil. So we see then, we'll agree there's a lot of evil in this world. If you don't think it, then I don't know what world you're looking at. But because there's a lot of evil in this world is because there's no fear of God. An example of the scriptures of departing for evil is the situation we remember back in Genesis chapter 39, where Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph day by day to lie with her. And she caught him by his garment. She caught him by his garment. She just went after him, you know, and grabbed him and says, come here, big boy. And she grabbed him by his garment. But the Bible tells us about Joseph, he fled and got him out. You know, as he ran, you know, she kept the garment and he pulled out of his jacket with her. But he got him out. He departed from evil. Because he said, when she kept tempting him, you know, come on, come with me. He'd say, he told her, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph had a fear of God. He knew there would be retribution. You see, the problem with Christians today is they're not departing from evil. Instead of departing from evil, Christians today are departing from the scriptures, they're departing from the sanctuary, and they're departing from the Savior, and they're departing from the saints. So then we see then, rule number three is to abide by, is depart from evil. The last rule, number four, is to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, the universal testimony to the truth of this verse is that people who have honored God, have honored the Lord with their substance, have been blessed tremendously. We could take a testimony from everyone here to that fact, how the Lord has blessed you tremendously. You know, although the New Testament doesn't guarantee material prosperity for the liberal soul, remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you become a Christian because you watch some dope on the TV that says you become a Christian, you're going to get all this, you know, the Cadillac that you ever wanted. You know, if you're a Christian because you're in it for the dough, then get out. You're not a Christian. You know, you have this false teaching doctrine about praying for material, you know, prosperity. If you have enough faith, brother or sister, God's going to give you that new car. And it's going to have the latest in the stereo. It's going to even have a thing to play your discs, your CDs. No, we pray for that new car so we can consume it upon our flesh. That's why we want these things. Paul the Apostle said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Underline that word need, not wants. The key word is need, not wants. He didn't say, I provide you all your wants. if provided all you want, so you'd be like a dog that you gotta, you know, you put food in front of a dog, he'll keep eating and eating till he gets sick. Although Paul does not wind up with the goods in substance that Abraham did, still 90% of Christians in this age who honor God with material things are blessed in return with material blessings. It's never a mistake to trust God with money. It's almost always a mistake to distrust Him with it. If you trust Him, as it says in verse 5 of Proverbs 3, with all thine heart, that certainly includes your billfold and your pocketbook. Matthew chapter 6 tells us this morning in verse 20, gives us the banking principle, the spiritual banking principle. Matthew 6, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Spiritual banking, laying up treasure in heaven, not on this earth. You know, if you can't trust God with your money, you can't trust Him with your family, your property, your time, or your soul. The prosperous child of God needs to remember what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. He said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And in verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. And in verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know? This here, we take out here, this is uncertain riches. This is here today and gone tomorrow. We've seen how inflation over the years and so forth and so on is, this isn't worth a dollar anymore. You know what, though? Eternal life has never changed. Eternal life is eternal life. If you're saved, you have eternal life. No one can take it away. This is uncertain riches. But you have certain riches if you're born again that you cannot put a price tag on. See, we need to heed the lesson of Luke 12. Remember that man who was, that rich man who was who talked about his barns were full? His barns were full. He had so much stuff. He had so much accumulated that he had to make bigger barns to cover all the stuff that he already had, and he was trusting in that. And that it says, "Thou fool, thy soul will be required of you tonight." Remember that. What are you saving up? What are you putting up? Treasures on this earth, the uncertain riches that'll soon be gone, and only things that you've done for Christ will last. See, we have to not trust in the loaded barns, but we have to trust on the one who loads our barns. So finally, we want to look at the rewards for keeping the second set of instructions. We want to look at the rewards. We see that we want to honor the Lord with the substance, with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. It says in verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel. All of us human beings, hopefully, if you're a human being, you should have a navel. Now, what the navel is talking about, it's talking metaphorically about the whole body. That's what it's talking about. And also the marrow to thy bones. The bones need lubrication, and marrow, which is apparent from Psalm 32. Let's look at Psalm 32. We're close by. Psalm 32, it says in verse 3. Psalm 32, verse 3. It says, when I kept silent, David said, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. And then in the book before that, Job, chapter 21,